The next morning, leaving the prisoner to sleep, Frank walked over to the cafe for breakfast. The place had just opened. The local crowd wasn't in yet. Only Doc Raven was in the cafe, sitting alone at a table sipping coffee. The doctor waved Frank over.
Coffee's hot, fresh, and good, Frank. But I guess you already had a pot or two this morning.
I didn't make any at the office. Just got dressed, sat outside for a time watching it rain.
It's slowly tapering off. Another day and it'll move out of here, I'm thinking. That's the way it usually happens.
Then the excitement'll start.
Maybe, maybe not. If it does, it might not be directed toward you.
Oh?
I had a visitor last night, just after I left you on the boardwalk. Clerk at the general store stopped by and told me the Olsen cousins bought a lot of supplies at the store late yesterday, half a wagon load. Said he overheard them whispering about heading out today. Seems they've been hired by someone as guides.
The Easterners?
That would be my guess.
I guess they succeeded in buying horses.
Looks like it.
Where were the supplies delivered?
He didn't know. The cousins drove up in the wagon and hauled it off, keeping away from the main street.
You know what those cousins are likely to do, don't you? Now
they'd have to get the hired bodyguards to go along with them, Frank.
You think that would take a lot of persuading?
Probably not. Hell, Frank, I never thought of it that way. They'd rob them all, kill the men, have their way with the women, and leave whoever was left to die in the big wilderness.
That's my thinking. Brooks is not toting a full load, Doc. I think he's capable of doing just about anything.
Wilma will be leaving with him, Frank.
She made her choice a long time ago.
Doc Raven's eyes betrayed him when a faraway light suddenly appeared.
Yes, I suppose that's true.
You still have feelings for her, don't you, Doc?
Yes, Frank, I do.
I reckon I understand.
Sounds as though you've been there, Frank.
I have, Doc.
What do you plan to do about the Easterners?
Not a thing, Doc. At least not until I see what really happens. After that, well, they're grown-up folks, no children involved. They want to try their luck by riding off into the big empty. Let them go.
You're right. It's their choice.
Bob entered the cafe and sat down at the table.
The Easterner slipped out of town last night and left their fancy wagons. What do y'all make of that?
Where are all the gunslingers?
Sleeping off last night's drunk. All over town.
Hell, that one gun hawk's still in the middle of the street. It's doubtful they'll be up before noon. Most of them, anyway. After that...
Frank shrugged.
The word'll spread pretty fast, I'm thinking. Then it's gonna get real interesting around town.
I'd better check my bag and restock my operating room.
Might be a real good idea.
Sister Clarabelle set to crank up the band about noon. Just about the time him gun slicks hit the street all headachy and bleary-eyed. Him churchgoers will be marching up and down the boardwalks, tooting their horns and beating on the drums and singing to the high heavens. Should be right interesting.
Doc Raven glanced at his longtime friend for a few seconds.
Bob, you've got a real vicious streak in you.
I know it. I can't help it. I think I was born this way. But it didn't really come out till after I got married.
He shook his head sorrowfully. Doc looked to the rafters.
That woman would try the patience of a saint.
Did she ever remarry, Bob?
Damned if I know. I doubt it. Who in the hell would have her?
Doc hid a wink to Frank.
I was told she was a really fine woman.
Whoever said that told you a bald-faced lie. That woman nagged and ragged me so bad, the chickens quit a-laying and the cow stopped giving milk. My good dog run off, joined up with Coyote Pack on account of her.
Did your dog ever come back home?
The very day that damn woman left. I was glad to see him, too.
Oh, I've got to go after listening to that whopper. I'll see you boys later.
I'm right behind you, Doc.
Frank stood up and reached for his hat.
It's the truth, I swear it is. Well, most of it.
The doctor and the gunfighter left the cafe and walked out onto the boardwalk.
Every town has its character. Bob is ours. You see it after a while, Frank.
Frank stood in front of the cafe for a time, smoking and watching the town wake up. Then he decided to check out the wagons of the Easterners. Just as Bob said, the wagons were uninhabited. Frank looked inside several. The interiors were plush. with carpet on the floor and fancy curtains on the small windows, and devoid of people.
These wagons must have cost plenty to build and outfit, and the dudes just ride off and leave them.
Frank turned as a girl of about 10 or 11 walked up.
Them fancy people left in the night, Mr. Morgan. Something woke me up, and I watched them ride out.
Did you see which way they went?
Sure did. I slipped out of bed and followed them a ways. They headed north up the old road that leads to Red Rock.
The road ends there, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Ain't nothing beyond that, except an empty.
The women riding side saddle?
Yes, sir. Proper like.
Wonder where they got side saddle rigs.
Maybe they brung them with them.
Maybe they did. Thanks, little miss.
You're welcome, sir.
The girl walked off.
They had it all planned out. They never intended to pay any bounty for killing me. It's all some sort of crazy joke. Well, folks, the joke backfired on you. And now you're in trouble, and on your own, as far as I'm concerned.
At mid-morning, the bleary-eyed gunslicks and bounty hunters began staggering and lurching out into the streets of town, all of them badly hungover, with aching and throbbing heads, all of them searching for some hot coffee. Doc Raven, Bob, and Frank sat on a bench outside the marshal's office, watching the pitiful-looking assemblage.
Ain't that about the sorriest-looking bunch you ever laid eyes on?
They're rough-looking, for a fact.
One of the hungover gunslicks staggered up to the trio.
Oh, give me something, Doc. I think I'm dying.
You'll live. Get some coffee and something to eat.
Eat? Oh, God.
He dropped to the mud and lay puking by the side of the main street.
Well, I damn sure don't want no lunch now.
Lunch? Oh!
That's plumb disgusting. Why don't you just toss him in jail, Frank?
My God, someone's being tortured.
No, Frank, that's the Mission Church Band warming up in practice. Something they never quite get enough of, as you can tell.
Yeah, just wait till Clarabelle starts a-singing. And you really think someone's being tortured.
That bad?
Bad? Clarabelle used to claim she was trained for the opera. About 10 years ago, this traveling group of musicians from back east was forced to spend a week here due to the rain. They decided to give us a show for our hospitality.
The music was that bad?
The music was fine. But Clarabelle somehow got herself invited to sing some famous opera piece.
Go on.
Well, sir, Clarabelle hoisted herself up on that stage. She's sort of a large woman, right ample, you might say. The song was supposed to be sung in Italian. Clarabelle has sort of a deep voice for a woman, you see. Everybody in the place braced themselves. Me, I angled close to the door so that I could get out right quick. The conductor pecked his little stick on the music stand. The orchestra begun a-playing, and Clarabelle let out a couple of bellers that got every cat in town a-squalling. Sounded like an entire herd of constipated moose backed up and all farted at once. Scared that conductor so bad he fell off the platform. Band got all out of tune, but that didn't stop a Clarabelle. No, she kept right on a-bellering and a-snorting in Italian. She got a right powerful voice, that woman does. I mean to tell you, winders was a-crackin' and kids was a-cryin' and dogs was a-howlin'. Clarabelle throwed out her arms and commenced to really give it her all. It was a love song, we was all told before it began. But that songwriter must have had a grudge against women when he wrote that piece. I never heard nothing so awful in all my life. I mean, folks was leaving that place fast as they could get to the door. Clarabelle had her eyes closed and was letting it rip. She throwed herself into the piece, started jumping up and down and a-bellering. Entire building was a-shaking. Stage broke, and Clarabelle disappeared in a cloud of dust. But that didn't stop her. No, she was a-coughing and a-singing, and the band was a-playing all out of key in a cloud of dust so thick somebody on the other end of town thought the place was on fire and started to ring the bell. A bucket brigade was formed up. folks started throwing water where the stage used to be. Hell, even when the band quit playing, they didn't shut up Clarabel. No, sir, she was determined to finish that love song.
Tears ran down Doc Raven's face as he clutched his sides.
Someone finally was brave enough to get close enough to toss a bucket of water on Clarabel, and that seemed to bring her to her senses. She stopped her squalling. I mean to tell you, it was a hell of a night here in town. That bunch of musicians all said later they had never heard nothing like it and hoped they never would again.
Frank wiped his eyes with a bandana. Oh.
Bob, how much of that tale is really true?
Almost all of it. I was there. I never heard Clarabel sing before, and I was looking forward to her performance. We all make mistakes. I should have left town before the band tuned up.
And she still sings.
You're gonna hear her in a few minutes. She ain't bad till she starts getting all carried away. And she will. She always does. If I was you, Frank, I'd put Wolf in the barn till it's all over. This is likely to affect him forever.
Can't be that bad.
You want a bet?
Frank listened to the out-of-tune and out-of-time band practicing and shook his head.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't figure he would.
The drunk gunslinger, lying on the ground, raised his head at the sounds of the band.
Oh, what in the name of God is that awful sound? Is this hell?
You should have stayed passed out. In a few minutes, you're gonna be very sorry you woke up.
I think I need a drink.
It's not a bad idea. Why don't we all go have a drink?
Can we get clear of that terrible band?
Not entirely, but it'll be bearable.
Let's go.
The saloon was filled with sullen, hungover, bad-tempered gunfighters. Doc Raven, Bob, and Frank made their way to a table in the rear, and Phil soon arrived with their drinks. Whiskey for Bob and the doctor, beer for Frank. Phil was placing the drinks on the table when Dolan walked in and up to the bar.
Well, boys, have you heard the news?
What news?
Jack Miller, after his session in the street, needed a shave, a haircut, and most especially a bath. The man's body odor offended most within 20 feet of him.
The Eastern dudes pulled out last night. They slipped away like a pack of damn coyotes.
What the hell do you mean?
Are you deaf? They're gone, pulled out, left here. There ain't gonna be no money for no hunt. It's over. Them damn dudes pulled a fast one on us.
Why would they do that? It don't make no sense.
Here it comes.
I think it was all a joke. I think them damn slick Easterners wanted to see us go at each other and kill each other off in some sort of wild shootout. Right down to the very last man left standing. When we didn't, they got nervous about all that money they promised and snuck out.
That's close enough to the truth.
That's crazy, Doc. Stupid. Didn't they realize what kind of dangerous game they were playing?
No, Frank, they didn't. None of them have ever been west of Pennsylvania. They grew up in a society with police officers on call and strictly enforced laws. They didn't know what they were getting into.
They still don't. Them damn crazy Olsen boys within spitting distance, they're in a hell of a lot more danger than they would have been staying right here in town.
Well, where the hell did they go?
I don't know, Finley. All I know is they pulled out. Left them fancy wagons and hauled their ashes out of here.
Sons of bitches!
By God, we can all reach, son. Let's go find them.
I got things to do first. They'll be traveling slow. We got plenty of time to find them and collect our due.
What things?
I'll tell you what, Lonesome. Dealing with Morgan yonder.
You ain't gonna get paid for it.
I don't make no never mind to me, Finley. I can take him, and that's what I aim to do.
What the hell is that?
That's a very beautiful hymn, you damned heathen!
The sound of many footsteps marching in unison on the boardwalk rattled the windows of the saloon.
I think them women in the band is gonna come in here!
Oh, I hope to hell not. My head is hurting something.
Your time has come, Morgan. I'm gonna kill you just for the hell of it.
Don't be a fool, Dolan. I don't have any quarrel with you.
I got a bone to pick clean with you, Morgan. You're alive, and that bothers me. I aim to bury that bone this day. Now stand up and face me.
You better give that some serious thought, Dolan. Because if I stand up, I'm gonna kill you.
Stand up, you bastard.
Frank pushed back his chair.
Sing, ladies! Onward, Christian soldiers marching on to war!
The parade marched between Frank and Dolan.
Get out of the way, goddammit!
You watch that filthy mouth! Them's good Christian ladies, you damn scum!
Them gals ain't half bad! As long as Clarabelle don't start trying to sing.
Stand up, Morgan, you son of a bitch!
Clarabelle pushed her considerable bulk through a knot of gunfighters who were trying, unsuccessfully, to get out of her way.
Beer and whiskey are tools of the devil!
One man, slower than his compadres, got a hard shove from Clarabelle, sending him reeling into Dolan.
Get out of my way, you drunken oaf!
Dolan and the man went down on the floor in a tangle of arms and legs, both men losing their hats.
Goddamn bitch! You overgrown couch herd!
How dare you talk to me using such filth!
Clarabelle grabbed the mallet from the bass drum player's hand and conked Dolan on the head.
God damn it!
Onward, Christian soldiers! On to victory!
You lord-ass heifer, stop hitting me on the head with that damn club!
Lord-ass!
Dolan got to his feet just as Clarabelle swung the mallet again. This time, it impacted solidly on Dolan's nose. Dolan went down again, the blood dripping from his busted beak.
That woman's dangerous. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I think she's wonderful. Magnificent.
I think you're crazy as a road lizard eating loco weed.
Frank, Doc, Bob, and the others were laughing so hard, tears welled up in their eyes.
My nose is busted!
I'll break your head!
Clarabelle swung the mallet again, conking Dolan on the top of his head.
Ow! Somebody get this tub of lard away from me!
Ton of lard?
Sister Clarabelle, servant of God, grabbed up a bottle of whiskey from a table and swung it with all her might. The bottle smashed against Dolan's head. His eyes rolled back and he hit the floor. Out like a candle at dawn.
Amen!
Lonesome Howard raised his Bible in one hand and a shot glass of rye whiskey in the other.
Oh, hallelujah, brother!
Who are you?
They call me Lonesome Howard, sister.
How quaint. Are you a gunfighter?
In the service of the Almighty. I'm a Christian man who reads the good book every day.
How can you be a Christian and be a gunfighter?
I kill for the Lord.
Nonsense! Get down on your knees and pray for his wonderful forgiveness.
Forgiveness for what?
For being a killer and for consorting with trash.
I got one more man to kill, sister. Then I'll drop on my knees onto a pile of sharp stones and pray all the day.
Who are you going to kill, Howard?
Lonesome Howard turned to look at Frank. He pointed a finger.
That godless heathen right over there, sister.
Don't be absurd. That man is a United States Marshal. He put his hand on a Bible and took an oath.
Lonesome Howard shook his head.
Don't make no difference if he did. He's evil, sister, and he's got to be killed.
Jack Miller stood up, his hands hovering near his guns.
That's so, Lonesome. But you ain't going to be the one who does the killing. That job is mine.
The hell you say?
Lonesome cut his eyes to Clarabelle.
Kindly excuse my language, sister. I backslid for a moment.
Shut your blowhole, Lonesome, and get out of my way. I got me a job to do.
Here now, stop this.
Shut up, lard ass.
Lard ass? How dare you speak to me in such a manner?
It's no dare. It is a fact. You're dragging a hell of a big caboose, blowhard.
I think he means to kill you, Frank.
Frank didn't reply, just nodded his head.
Don't you insult that fine woman. You'll answer to me for that.
Then hook and draw, you Bible-reading son of a bitch.
Frank slowly stood up, shoving his chair back and stepping away from the table.
Get out of the way, Howard.
I don't need you to fight my battles, Morgan. I'll deal with this loudmouth, and then we'll settle our business.
You're both fools. I have no quarrel with either of you. This is what those damn Easterners wanted. Can't you see that?
What are you talking about, Morgan? Them dudes is gone.
And you're still playing their stupid game with no chance of collecting any money. Hell, they never intended to pay any money. It was all a cruel joke.
On who?
On all of you.
Doc Raven pushed back his chair and stood up.
I think they wanted to see a bloody show until the last man was standing.
And then they'd have to pay that man.
No, their bodyguards would have killed the last man in a spray of fire. Then the whole passel would head back east. They would have seen a so-called Wild West drama played out to their satisfaction. It was a joke for their entertainment, and the joke was on you men.
I don't believe that. No one would do something that stupid. None of it makes any sense.
Sure as hell don't. That there is a story, that's all. You made it all up, Doc, to try and protect your friend Morgan.
I give up. They thought they could outsmart all of you into killing each other. Well, maybe they were right.
Doc shook his head and sat down. Clarabel was unusually quiet, standing in the midst of the West's most dangerous gunfighters, listening. The band was silent, as were the singers.
It's over, boys. The dudes is gone. Pulled out. The show's over before it ever got started good.
He's right. Any gunplay now's for naught.
Jack Miller shook his head.
Maybe so, maybe not. But I still aim to kill Frank Morgan. So get out of the way, Lonesome.
Frank stood calm and ready.
Make your play, Miller.
Jack Miller moved his hand closer to the butt of his gun. He was either so angry, nervous, or hungover that he shook as Frank faced him. Clarabel and her group backed up against the far wall. They all stood silent, mesmerized by the scene. Lonesome Howard stepped back, carefully moving his hand away from the butt of his pistol. The men lining the bar backed away, dragging Dolan with them. Dolan was conscious, but still addled from the blow on the head.
Pull, Morgan!
After you, Miller.
Whether it was the hangover, fear, or nerves, Miller shook like a turkey on Thanksgiving. A waterfall of sweat flowed from every pore.
I'm waiting.
I'll kill you, Morgan!
Miller grabbed for his gun. Frank cleared leather as fast as a rattler strike and fired, the bullet hitting Miller in the chest and knocking him stumbling backward. He held onto his pistol, managed to cock it and bring it level. He was grinning as Frank's 45 boomed again. The heavy slug taking Miller in the side and turning him around, the bullet blowing out the man's back. Miller dropped his six gun. It went off as it hit the floor, the bullet slamming into the side of the bar. Jack Miller sank to his knees and stayed there. The moment was a revelation for bounty hunters Lars Jensen and Red Henson.
Fast as he ever was, Lars. Too damn fast for me.
Me too, Red. I just quit this game.
Help me. I can't get up.
Ain't no point in you doing that, Jack. You best just stay where you is. Go on and expire.
God, the hell with you, Lonesome.
You want me to say some words over you? I can read from the good book. That might make your passing a tad easier.
You take your words and your book and stick them in your...
Miller fell forward on his face. Clarabel and her followers began quietly exiting the saloon. Few of the hardened gunslicks took note of their departing. Frank sat back down at the table.
Bring me some coffee, will you, Phil?
Come right up, Frank.
Oh, what the hell is going on?
Dolan sat up on the floor. He shook his head.
Where am I? I smell gun smoke. Have I been shot?
No, you ain't been shot, but Jack Miller damn sure was.
Oh, who shot him?
Morgan.
Dolan's eyes cleared and he looked at Miller, lying on the barroom floor a few feet away.
Oh, damn, boy. You look bad.
Miller did not reply. Frank sipped his coffee.
You want some of us to tote Miller over to your office, Doc?
No point in that. He's about dead.
Well, how in the hell can you tell that from where you're sitting?
From years of experience. Phil, bring me a cup of that coffee, will you?
You've got to be the sorriest doctor I ever had the misfortune to run into. You didn't even get up to look at Miller.
Miller jerked once. And would never move again.
I believe Miller just passed, praise the Lord. Barkeep, Bring me a fresh bottle, will you?
Let some of us get him out of here and over to the Undertaker. He smelt bad enough living. He'd really be stinking in a little while.
That there is a natural fact. Come on, boys. Let's tote him out of here.
Several men got up and carried Miller outside. Lonesome Howard turned slowly to stare at Frank.
Someday, Morgan, it'll be me and you. Then we'll settle this thing.
Nothing between us to settle, Howard. Nothing at all.
I think there is, Morgan.
What?
You're an evil man, and you gotta be stopped.
That'll be my job, Lonesome.
Dolan straightened up, gently placing his hat on his head.
Why don't you men stop this? My God, what has Frank done to either of you?
You don't have to have done nothing, Doc.
Then I don't understand.
He is who he is, and we are who we are. That's about the only way I know to say it.
You men really want this foolishness to happen, don't you? This last man standing nonsense.
It's something to do.
Now that is no reason for killing.
Red shrugged that off and signaled for Phil to bring him another beer. Frank finished his coffee and pushed back his chair.
I think I'll turn the prisoner loose. Tell him to get out of town. The money men are gone. He can't get paid now for shooting me.
He might decide to shoot you just for the hell of it.
I don't think so. Anyway, I'm gonna cut him loose. See you men later.
Frank walked out of the saloon, conscious of a lot of hostile eyes on him. But he was accustomed to the sensation and ignored the hot glares. Frank turned the prisoner loose and told him to get his horse and head out of town. He left with a promise Frank would never see him again. Frank emptied the chamber pot and cleaned up the man's cell. Then he washed up a bit and headed for the cafe to get Wolf some scraps to eat. His chores done, he walked back to the saloon and leaned against the bar, drinking coffee and listening to the murmur of voices around him. He covertly counted heads and realized that about half a dozen of the men were gone. Most of those gunslicks he knew, or at least whose names he knew, were present in the saloon. He motioned to Phil.
Who left, Phil?
I know the names of three of them, Frank. Carl Rep, Jimmy Diggins, and Hamp Jennings. Something else, too. That gun hawk called Roberts and his buddy with the chewed-up arm, Russ Temple, they pulled out early this morning. So I was just told.
Going after the Easterners?
Damned if I know. That'd be a good guess.
Thanks, Phil.
You going after them?
I don't know. Far as I'm concerned, the Eastern folks got themselves into this mess. They can get themselves out of it.
That sounds good to me.
Phil left to go wait on another customer, and Frank walked out to stand on the boardwalk.
Sounds real good. Except for what's probably gonna happen to the women traveling with those arrogant men. Damn.
Frank tossed his cigarette into a mud hole in the street and paced up and down the boardwalk for a couple of minutes. Then he made up his mind. Frank walked over to Doc Raven's office. The doctor was sitting in his office reading a medical book.
Doc.
What's on your mind, Frank?
Phil told me a number of the bounty hunters are gone. He thinks they went after the Easterners. I'm going after those men, Doc.
Doc Raven laid the medical book aside.
You don't know they've gone after the Easterners, Frank.
I will as soon as I picked up the tracks.
You know, of course, as soon as that mob of gunslicks in the saloon realize you're gone, they'll be coming after you.
True.
Counting the bodyguards with Maxwell and the others, you'll be facing odds of about 50-1.
You don't want me to go after your old college friends?
Doc Raven grimaced at that question.
Please, they're not my friends, Frank. Far from it. As far as the women with them, well, in a way, they're just as guilty as the husbands. Probably in a lot of ways.
Doc opened his mouth to add something, then shook his head.
But you're worried about Wilma.
The doctor turned his gaze to Frank and stared at him for a few seconds.
She's married to Maxwell, Frank.
But?
I suppose I do still have some sort of affection for her.
Sure, Doc. Some sort of affection. That's a very interesting way of putting it.
We had no communication for years, Frank. Not since just after the war of Northern Aggression.
I saw the way you two looked at each other.
Doc Raven said nothing.
I don't think she's very happily married to Maxwell.
Perhaps not.
Did they have any children, Doc?
Two. A boy and a girl. The boy is in business in New York City. The girl is married and living somewhere.
So you've spoken with Wilma since her arrival here?
A couple of times, briefly.
Will you take care of Wolf for me, Doc? Of
course I will. But will he stay with me if you ride out?
If I tell him to, especially if I don't take Horse with me.
Wolf and Horse. Couldn't you have come up with something a bit more original?
It fits him.
Well, I have a big mountain-bred Appaloosa. You saw him in the stable.
Yeah, I did. Beautiful animal.
You can take him. He'll go all day, and he certainly needs the exercise. His name is Stormy.
I appreciate that.
A bit of a warning, Frank. He'll try you when you first swing into the saddle, just to show you who's boss.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
When do you plan on pulling out?
Just as soon as I supply up.
If you stay on the road, you'll find plenty of deserted cabins to spend the night. Most of them are in pretty good shape. Red Rock itself is deserted. Past Red Rock, the way is rough. It'll be very slow going for Vanderhoof and his party.
I'm counting on that, Doc.
I'll have Bob put your rig on Stormy. Then I'll meet you behind the general store. How long you plan on being gone?
Long as it takes, Doc.
Frank turned and headed for the door.
Frank.
Raven's voice stopped him.
Yeah, Doc.
Bring Wilma back, Frank.
Frank nodded his head and walked out of the office. Frank waited until the store was empty of customers, then bought several boxes of cartridges for pistol and rifle. He also bought bacon, beans, coffee, flour, and salt. He took the supplies out to the rear of the store as Doc arrived. Stormy was a big Appaloosa, about 17 hands high, which is somewhat larger than the average Appaloosa. He bore the breed's typical markings, light gray in color with dark gray spots on his hips. Stormy was a stepper with a lot of spirit. Frank could tell that just by looking at him. And he was young. The app cut his eyes to Frank as Frank approached him. But Frank had a way with horses, a gift, some would call it. After a few moments of gently talking with the big horse and stroking his nose, Frank swung into the saddle.
He likes you, Frank. He doesn't like many people. Sort of like your horse. And your horse is getting along in years, too.
Well, he isn't a colt, that's for sure.
Oh, I agree with you on that. Now, this one needs riding. There are a lot of trails Stormy would like to see. It's a shame I can't ride him more than I do. I just don't have the time.
What are you getting at, Doc?
Horse likes me.
Horse doesn't like anybody.
He likes me. I can assure you of that. I've been going down there when I could and feeding him bits of apple.
He took it out of your hand?
Sure did, after I talked to him a bit.
Damn wonder he didn't take your hand off.
I still got both hands.
What's your point, Doc?
You want to trade horses, Frank?
Are you serious?
I sure am. You're a man who knows horses and you like horses. You're sitting on Stormy as though you two have known each other for years. Now, before you say no, I understand that Horse is not old. He's got a lot of years left in him. But he's also seen a lot of trails. He just needs a good rest. Surely you'll agree with that.
I will, for a fact.
Well, you try Stormy on the trail. See how you two get along. Then make up your mind.
I'll do that, Doc. See you when I get back. And, I'll do my best to bring Wilma back with me.
I hope so, Frank.
Frank lifted a hand and rode out of town. They rode only a few miles before Frank made up his mind. Horse was going to get himself the rest he deserved. Stormy was born to the trail. The rain stopped, and the sun finally shone after days of downpours, drizzles, and gloomy skies. Frank came to a spot in the old road that was not a mud pile and let Stormy have his head. The big app could almost fly and loved strutting his stuff. Frank reined him in and swung down from the saddle, letting Stormy blow for a moment.
You and me, Stormy, we're gonna get along just fine.
After a few minutes, Frank stepped back into the saddle and headed for the ghost town of Red Rock. He didn't figure on making the town before dark, so after several hours on the trail, he began looking for a place to make camp for the night. He found some old wagon ruts deeply embedded in the almost indiscernible old road that led off to the east and took it. About a quarter of a mile later, Frank came to an old cabin in the timber with a lean-to type stable built off to one side. The roof looked to be in good shape, so Frank decided this was as good as he was apt to find and dismounted to check out the place. Looking around, he could find no signs anyone visited the place recently. He put Stormy in the old stable and went inside the cabin. Whoever vacated the place pulled out in a hurry, leaving some of the furniture. There was a rocking chair in good shape, a table and three chairs, a bed frame with no mattress, a chest of drawers, and a trunk. There were ample signs small animals frequented the place.
It'll do for a home for the night.
Frank looked around for a broom, found a piece of one with a broken handle, and used it to sweep out the place as best he could. He found some old boards and sticks in one side of the lean-to and used that to build a fire, then put on water to boil for coffee. He pulled out crackers, tins of beef, and some pickles he bought at the general store for supper. Frank let Stormy out and hobbled him so he could graze and not go far from the cabin. He tried the water in the well. It tasted sweet, so Frank filled up his canteen. The water was boiling when he got back to the cabin, and the day was getting colder.
Well, it's time for that. Just hope it doesn't snow.
Frank drank a cup of coffee with supper. He went out and gathered up enough wood to last him the night, then went back to the cabin. He poured another cup of coffee, then rolled a smoke and enjoyed the quiet of late afternoon. He missed the company of Wolf, but the animal was better off staying in town with Horse. Doc would make sure that Wolf was well fed and loved. Frank smiled and hoped Wolf would not get too attached to Doc Raven.
Help!
Frank lifted his head. What was that sound? Or was it a noise at all? Yes, he was sure he'd heard something. Something not a normal sound of the night. He listened intently.
Help!
There it was again. A human sound, he was certain of that. He picked up his rifle and went out the back of the cabin, standing for a moment, listening.
Help. Help me, please.
What the hell?
Please, God, help me.
Frank stepped around the corner and began walking toward the sound. The night closed around him. Frank cautiously followed the sounds, staying on the road, but close to the timber. When he was close to the main road leading to Red Rock, he spotted the figure of a man lying in the middle of the cabin road. Frank stepped into the timber and stopped, surveying everything around him, listening intently. He could not see, hear, or sense anything hostile. He walked up to the man and knelt down. It was Maxwell Crawford. The man's clothing was ripped and torn. He was badly beaten, his face swollen and covered with dried blood.
I'm badly hurt. Please, help me.
Can you walk?
Yes, I think so.
Come on, I'll help you. That's good. Now lean on me. Cabin isn't far.
Frank managed to get Maxwell to the cabin and into a chair by the table. He put on water to boil, lit several candles for more light, built up the fire, then turned his attention to Maxwell. The man looked savagely beaten. Frank could tell the man's nose was broken and several teeth were knocked out.
My ribs are broken. I'm coughing up blood. I believe a lung is punctured.
Water will be hot in a few minutes, then I'll clean you up. Tell me what happened to you, Maxwell.
The men we hired as guides, the Holson cousins, turned on us. They were in league with our bodyguards. I don't know how they arranged that, but they did. I think it was planned with the assistance of some of those who gathered in town. They helped take us prisoner. They are holding us for ransom. I fought them and they beat me until I was unconscious when they weren't looking. I crawled away and got onto a horse and slipped away. About a mile from here, the horse was startled by something and threw me. I walked and crawled until I smelled smoke and began yelling for help. Oh, thank God you found me.
The women?
They haven't been raped, at least not when I left. But they're going to be. I overheard the hoodlums talking about it.
Are any more men from town a part of this? The bounty hunters, I mean, not locals.
I think so. Not sure.
Maxwell slipped into unconsciousness. Frank took the time to bathe the man's face with hot water and take his coat and shirt off. As gently as possible, Frank probed the man's bare chest and sides. Several ribs were broken, probably by savage kicks. Maxwell coughed up a pink froth several times, a sure indication a lung was punctured, maybe both lungs. His breathing was very ragged. Frank covered the man with a blanket and stepped back. There was little else he could do for Maxwell Crawford. There was a terrible swelling knot on the side of the man's head. It was possible, even likely, the man's skull was busted and bleeding inside.
Damn.
The manhunt was all a diversion. Just something for us to do. A little excitement for our wives. It was stupid. We misjudged the caliber of Western men. I am sorry for what we caused you, Mr. Morgan. I am truly sorry.
Get some rest.
I'm going to have plenty of time to rest. I'm dying. My skull has been fractured and lungs punctured. Even if you got me to a doctor, there is nothing he could do.
You want to lie down? I can fix your pallet on the floor.
No. I don't want to move, Mr. Morgan. It just hurts too much.
Frank. My name's Frank.
Thank you, Frank. The hoodlums, Frank, they're going to take the hostages to another old ghost town in the mountains.
Does it have a name?
Freetown, I heard one of them say. Do you know where it is?
I've heard of it. It was built by ex-slaves right after the war. It isn't far from Red Rock, just a few miles east of there. But I didn't know it was a ghost town.
They said it would be 15 minutes after they got there.
I see.
They are trash and scum, down to the last man.
He coughed up blood, and his body trembled from the pain.
I have to rest a minute, Frank. All right?
Sure, Maxwell. You rest for a few minutes. I'll get us some coffee.
I would like some coffee. Yes, it would taste good.
Frank left the man's side and fixed coffee, then dumped in some cold water and waited for the grounds to settle. He poured two cups and returned to the table. Maxwell was unconscious. Frank doubted the man would wake up. He sat in a chair, drank his coffee, and smoked. Just as he drained the last of his coffee, Maxwell shivered once and died peacefully.
Oh, what a mess.
Frank looked at the body of Maxwell, sitting in the old kitchen chair, his chin resting on his chest.
What an unnecessary mess.
Frank carried the body outside and laid it by the side of the cabin, covering it with a blanket. He hoped there was a shovel around the place. If not, he would have to cover Maxwell with rocks until someone could get the body for transport back east. Or maybe the family would leave him here.
I've done all that I can do for you.
The next morning, Frank prowled around the place, but could find no shovel, not even a piece of one. He carried the body of Maxwell to a spot away from the cabin and began gathering rocks, piling them on the body. The rocks would not keep any large, determined animal from the corpse, but it was the best Frank could do under the circumstances. In the saddle, Frank paused once on his way to the road to look back at the spot where he covered Maxwell.
Sorry, Maxwell. You folks should have stayed in the big city. You found some other way to amuse yourselves.
Frank lifted the reins and rode away. He figured he would make the old town of Red Rock in a few hours. After that, he would handle whatever situation confronted him the best way he could. Frank reined up a few hundred yards from the old town and studied the place for a few seconds, then turned Stormy into the pines. The weather was decidedly colder, but he saw no signs of smoke from the ghost town. If anyone was in town, they must be awfully cold. Frank felt the place was deserted, the outlaws and their hostages having moved on toward Freetown. Staying in the timber, Frank rode slowly toward the town, coming up behind the town proper amid a small gathering of houses. He could see no smoke coming from any of the houses or the row of abandoned stores.
Gone.
Frank stepped down from the saddle and pulled his rifle from the saddle boot. Frank hitched Stormy to an intact rail and began prowling the ghost town on foot, staying behind the row of stores, pausing every few seconds to listen. He could hear nothing except the sighing of the cold late fall wind. When he reached the last of the stores on the east side, he tried a back door. It was unlocked. He pushed the door open and stepped into the dimness of an old storeroom. Frank could see light coming in from what remained of the storefront windows. He cautiously made his way to the front and looked out onto the single main street. He saw recent horse droppings in the street, but no signs of human life. Also, there was no smell of smoke. Somewhere in the town, something, human, he hoped, began moaning. Frank had never heard of any animal moan like that. But there were reports of strange, man-like, hairy beasts roaming in this area. Frank had heard the rumors, but never saw any of the beasts, and sincerely hoped he never would. The moaning began anew, and Frank shivered, not entirely due to the cold winds.
Get a hold of yourself, Frank. What you're thinking about is old Indian rumors, that's all.
Or was it?
Oh, hell.
Frank stepped out of cover, walking toward the moaning. It was getting louder. Frank located the building where the moaning seemed to be coming from and slowly pushed open the warped old door.
Don't hurt me no more!
The man huddled in a pile of bloody rags in a dark corner of the room.
Not gonna hurt you.
Frank walked toward the man and knelt down.
Who are you and what happened here?
I was drifting. Come up on this old town. Decided to spend the night here. Last night. Not before last, I guess it was. A whole bunch of people showed up. Mean bunch. Outlaws, I reckon they was. Had some folks prisoners. Men and women. They was beating up on the men and manhandling the women folk.
The badly beaten man paused for several breaths.
Take it easy. Let me get my horse and I'll get you some water. Hang on.
Appreciate it, partner. I'm hurt bad, I think.
Frank walked swiftly back to Stormy and rode back into town, reining up behind the building where he'd found the man. He got his canteen and entered through the back door. He wet a bandana and mopped Waylon's swollen and battered face, then gave the canteen to the man.
Man, that's good. Better than rye. Thanks.
Feel like finishing what you were telling me?
Yeah. Ain't that much more to tell. I seen what was happening, tried to leave. Some of them no-counts hung a loop over me, dragged me off my horse. Then they commenced to beating on me, for the fun of it. I don't know how many times they whooped on me, more than once, I can tell you that.
What about the women? Have they been raped?
Not yet, I don't think. Well, that's coming for sure. All the men done been beat on some. One got away, though, I think.
He's dead. I found him a few miles down the road.
A whinny sounded out in the street, and the cowboy's eyes widened.
That's my horse. I thought they'd stole him.
I'll see about him.
That's mighty good of you, mister.
Frank found the horse and took him to the old livery barn. He stripped saddle and bridle from the horse and stabled him, then went back to the injured man.
Let me gather up some wood, and I'll build a fire and make us some coffee. I have some bacon I can fry up.
All that would taste fine, mister. Ain't it? A couple of days, not since them outlaws grabbed me. I had some grub in my saddlebags. Did you look in there?
No, I didn't. Don't worry about it. I have plenty of food.
I guess I give up till you come along. That ain't like me at all. I ain't no quitter. Let me try to stand up.
No, lay still until I get back and try and check for broken ribs and such, okay?
All right. Say, what's your name anyway?
Morgan. Frank Morgan.
Frank walked out to his horse. Waylon ate a little bit and drank a cup of coffee, then went to sleep. Frank didn't think the man had any life-threatening injuries. He just had the crap beat out of him and probably felt like he was going to die. When Waylon woke up, he stood and walked slowly around the room for a moment, then sat back down.
I reckon I'll live.
Frank poured him another cup of coffee.
Did you overhear where this bunch of outlaws were heading?
They talked about Freetown.
People still live there, don't they?
I don't think so, Frank. I think the last bunch of colored folks pulled out about a year ago. I don't know where they went.
I hope you're right about that.
They still colored families live in that area. Nice folks. I've met with them a couple of times. They pretty much keep to themselves. Don't ever bother no one.
I hope they keep to themselves while this bunch of no-goods is around.
Yeah. They mean as a basket full of rattlesnakes, for a fact. Got the marks to prove that. They left me to die, Frank. Just rode out laughing about what they done. I feel sorry for them women. I really do.
They'll probably kill the men.
After they've had their sport with them.
Sport?
Making them beg and plead for their lives. If they beg hard and long enough, them outlaws said they'd let them live. But I don't believe it.
Neither do I. Listen, Waylon. When you get to South Raven, go to Doc Raven's office. Tell him what happened and tell him about me. Will you do that?
Sure will.
But try not to tell anyone else you saw me up here, okay?
I got you, Frank. I won't.
You gonna be all right if I leave?
Sure. You go on. I'll rest here till morning, then I'll head into town. Frank, I do appreciate all you done for me.
No problem, Waylon. I'm heading out. See you, partner.
Frank, take care, you hear? That's a mean damn bunch.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Frank left the old road to Freetown about 2 miles from the village and headed into the timber, circling wide around so he would approach the town from the east side out of the timber. The narrow road ended at Freetown. Frank felt the outlaws would be less vigilant toward the east. Frank pulled saddle and bridle from the horse, left Stormy in a hastily built brush corral, and proceeded through the timber on foot. If he didn't return, Stormy could easily bust out of the corral. Frank stuffed his pockets with cartridges for rifle and pistols. He left his spurs in his saddlebags before he headed out.
The odds sure aren't good. How come I always get myself into these pickles?
At the extreme eastern edge of the village, Frank found his first body. A black man shot in the back.
So much for the town being deserted.
There was nothing in the dead man's pockets. Frank left him and moved cautiously toward the small town. The corral at the old livery barn was full of horses. Frank skirted the corral so as not to spook the horses and eased up to the rear of the barn. He pressed his ear to the cold wood and listened.
Please stop.
He could hear the faint protests of a woman. She was begging for someone to stop doing whatever they were doing. Frank had a pretty good idea what. He peeked through a crack in the building but could see nothing. The attack was taking place near the front of the barn. Frank carefully opened the back door and slipped into the barn, ducking into an empty stall.
Please stop! For God's sake, what kind of a man are you?
Shut up!
Oh, damn it, Claude! You done knocked her out! I don't want to poke no unconscious woman!
Shut up, Jeff! She'll come around in a minute. I'm done anyways.
Well, pull up your britches and get the hell out of here. I don't like no spectators.
All right. See, she's coming around like I told you she would. Get to poking. I'm going out back for a smoke.
Well, don't set the damn barn on fire.
Idiot! I said I was going out back.
Oh, God. Please, no more. Please.
Shut up! As long as you can stand a humping, you'll stay alive. You best remember that.
Claude walked up to the stall, and Frank clubbed him on the back of the head with the butt of his rifle, catching the man before he could fall to the barn floor. Frank dragged him into the stall and tied his hands behind his back with the man's own belt. He stuffed a dirty piece of cloth left in the stall into the man's mouth and took Claude's pistol. Frank picked up a piece of what appeared to have been part of a single tree and slipped up behind Jeff, who was busy grunting away, and belted his head. The woman's dress was shoved up to her waist. Her bodice was ripped open.
Oh, my God! Marshal Morgan!
Shh! Quiet now, please. Get your dress straightened up. Let's get the hell out of here.
Frank helped her get on her feet.
Can you ride?
If the mount is gentle and I have the proper saddle.
I don't know about the mount. And you're gonna have to ride a straddle.
But how?
You wanna stay here, lady?
Hell no.
Then come on.
I'm Mrs. Dunbar.
She struggled into her winter coat.
I know who you are. I didn't recognize you at first, given the circumstances. Sorry.
Are those my attackers dead?
One of them isn't.
Frank pointed to the tied-up man in the horse stall they were passing.
That one. The one I busted on the head. Might have a broken skull. I don't know for sure. Don't really give a damn.
Neither do I.
I'm sure.
Frank pushed open the back door and motioned Colette out.
Head to the right. Stay as low as possible and be quiet if you want to live.
Colette did as she was told, and at the edge of the corral, Frank motioned her on into the timber.
Wait for me. I gotta get you a horse.
I refuse to leave here without my friends.
Don't be a fool, Colette. I can't take on 30 or 40 men single-handed.
There are only 34 of them, Marshal. I counted them.
Only 34 of them?
You're a famed shooter, Marshal. Go dispose of them.
Before Frank could respond to that, a man let out a yell from the front of the barn.
Hey! Claude and Jeff are down and the woman's gone!
Down? How in the hell could one woman do that?
I don't know, but she damn sure did it. Look for yourself.
Run toward the timber, Colette. Wait for me at the top of that first rise. You see it?
Yes.
Move!
Colette turned away, paused, and looked back at Frank.
I'm sorry, Marshal. About everything.
We'll talk later. Move, lady.
Colette made the timber unseen. Frank waited by the old corral, listening to the outlaws talk.
She might have gone into the timber.
City folks? No way. You heard them talk. They're all lost as sheep, even the men. They've been lost ever since we grabbed them. Search the town on the edges of the timber.
Crawford might have made South Raven. We better get the hell out of here.
I don't think so. He was bad hurt when he got away. I think he died before he got there. If there ain't nobody here in a few hours, we're home free. Besides, we got enough firepower to hold off the army. Find that damn woman. Move!